And we welcome to the show Professor Hudson from the Department of Economics at the University of Missouri, Kansas. Michael, you are right on top of the debt bubble and what causes it. From your opinion, why are we in such a state of economic despair at present in America?
For the same reason that every other economy in history's got in trouble, the tendency of debts to grow faster than the ability to pay.
Certainly is, and you've written a blockbuster of, well, a number of blockbuster articles, but a recent one that I've got into is called Bubble Peonage, and with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac going down this week, would perhaps be one of the biggest moments in financial history since the Great Depression. What's your interpretation of this occurrence?
Well, the Treasury Department basically has been staffed by bankers from Wall Street and investment bankers, and their interest is in keeping all of the mortgages being paid. The rest of the country has problems paying the mortgages. It's estimated that between 2 and 3 million foreclosures and defaults are going to occur this year, and 2 or 3 million are a lot of foreclosures. So the tendency since World War II has been for the price of housing to go up and up and up relative to what workers can take home, and the result is that as much as 40% of income in the United States is paid for just for the housing costs, as compared to, say, 20% in Germany. And over the last few years, people were panicked into buying houses because if they didn't buy here, they felt the price would go up even further and it would be even harder to get off the rent treadmill. So they tried to buy a house. The problem is that until fairly recently, you always needed about 20% of the purchase price to save up. Well, at about 10 years ago, banks began making loans with no down payment at all. And people couldn't even afford to amortize the mortgage, that is to pay it off in 30 years or so. So you had loans made with no down payment, with no amortization, in other words, permanently. And as a matter of fact, the prices of the houses were so high and the interest rates were so high that the home buyer said, well, I can't even afford out of my salary to pay the interest charges. So the bank said, okay, don't worry, we're going to add on the interest charge to the principal, and we'll just the debt will get bigger and bigger, but you won't have to pay that much, and we hope that you'll be able to pay off the mortgage out of the increased value of the house, and you'll come way out ahead as long as the house prices are inflated. So house prices were going up as fast as the credit supply was growing. The credit supply was growing exponentially. People's take-home pay was flat. Since 1979, the average pay of the American worker has not increased in real terms. So you have steady pay, rising house prices, less and less affordable mortgage, and more people defaulting. So the Treasury comes up, and their position is, we want housing prices to continue to go up at the present scale. If the Treasury plan works, Americans will be paying 80% of their income for housing in 5 years, and 120% of their income for housing in 20 years. It's obviously this is impossible unless we have such a hyperinflation that the meaning of salary and money is meaningless. So the government's position is that prices are meaningless, wages are meaningless, and we're in utter anarchy now, which is why the stock market fell by 300 points today.
Phenomenal. And so Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, they just couldn't hold the debt levels. Why did they bust? Why did they have to be bailed out?
Well, for one thing, fraud. They had falsified their balance sheets for the last 5 years, it turns out. The people who ran Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, in order to pay themselves huge bonuses, had to increase the stock price, and they increased it like Enron did. They lied. And so the government says, everybody knew they were lying. The Republicans said they were lying. The congressmen said they were lying. The senators said they were lying. Every banker I knew said they were lying. The government said, don't worry, it's okay if they lie. We'll bail you out. So the government has just committed $5 trillion to bail them out. While it's committing $5 trillion, to bail out the banks. They say there's no money for Social Security. We are not, and the Republicans now say we're going to cancel Social Security. President Bush has said that. We're going to cancel medical care. All of the money in the government is going to be paid to bail out the bankers. So I have called this neo-peonage, as your article pointed out. All of the money over and above basic subsistence for America and for all of its countries, companies, is to be paid to the banks. That is the, what they call that, the magic of compound interest. And any interest rate is basically a doubling time. And Adam Smith said way back in 1776 that no government in history had ever repaid its debt, although some had pretended to do so. Well, at that time, governments were the main borrowers because people just wouldn't lend to individuals very much. But now what he said then could be just as true today. No private sector in history has ever repaid its debts, and the debts are basically unpayable. So when you have the government committing to something that is obviously impossible mathematically, you realize they're trying to get by not really for the next year or 2 years or 5 years. They're trying to get by for 2 months until the presidential election, hoping to get in Mr. McCain as opposed to the Democrats. So this the whole thing is a charade, utterly fictitious, to push for the election in 2 months.
Well, now you are the economic advisor to presidential candidate Denis Kucinich.
That's correct.
You must have seen some very interesting political deals, and from what you're telling us there, banking insiders have switched from Wall Street into the bureaucracy. They're trying to ensure that the mortgage payments continue so that commissions keep paying to their executive brethren. And one of the lines I am very interested in, and you must be being involved in public policy, in this bubble peonage article of yours, you said, what formerly was paid to the tax collector is now paid to bankers as interest.
That's right. The basically, there's been a reduction in property taxes in the United States and a shift of the tax burden off property onto labor. For instance, in 1930, until that time, states and municipalities would get 70% of their tax revenue in the form of a property tax. And they use this property tax to build schools, to pay for teachers, to build roads. Now this proportion has fallen to 16%. In other words, it's been cut from 75 to 16%, and the difference has been made up by shifting to an income tax on labor and sales taxes on the things that labor buys off property. Now, they promised at the time, the lobbies for the financial sector and for the real estate industry said, we're going to cut your property taxes and this is going to help homeowners because it's going to make housing more affordable. And at first it seems reasonable that if they cut your property taxes, it'll be more affordable. But what happens is that by cutting the property tax, they leave more of the rental value of a house or of a commercial building free. And this free revenue ends up being pledged to the banks for interest. Because suppose somebody comes on and around and wants to buy a house, and he calculates, well, I'll have to spend $2,000 a month as rent on that. But if I can buy it, and I can buy a house and end up paying about $2,000 a month to own it, just for the carrying charge, then I'm going to end up with something that's going up in value. So everything that the tax collector cuts back, the new home buyer or the new building buyer or real estate investor is going to say, they're going to pledge it to the bank in order to get the loan to buy this house. So the money that the tax collector cuts back ends up being paid to the bank as interest, while meanwhile the tax collector, the city or the state, has to find taxes elsewhere, and it finds it by taxing labor or sales.